Good morning, Mrs. Candace Newton from Unlocking Secrets for Women, and it is my pleasure to introduce Tricia Glare. She's an award-winning writer who uses her relational thinking and conversational writing style to convey and connect truth with her readers. And she's a former teen mom who went on to complete high school, attend college, and she is a celebrated author. And in 2003, Tricia was named Writer of the Year at the Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference. And 2 years later, her book, Life Interrupted, was named a finalist for the ECPA Gold Medallion Award. And I am just thrilled to have you here with me today. Welcome to Unlocking Secrets for Women, Tricia.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, Tricia, I'm so excited to talk to you for several reasons. You share about being a teen mom, and I can totally identify with that, as I was as well myself. And you are a writer, and I think every woman's dream is to be able to put her thoughts down onto paper in a way that expresses the truth about how she's really feeling, and then get paid for it.
I know. It's a wonderful thing.
So tell me, Tricia, tell me how you got started in writing, because I know there's a million women out there that are listening going, oh, tell me how she do that. I want to do that too. How did you get started? Because it's really quite an intimidating process to think about actually getting recognized enough so that you can get your, you can really fulfill your dream if that's your dream to be a writer.
Right. That's right. Well, for me, it was so funny because I met a friend at church, and I was 22 years old at the time and pregnant with my third baby.
Wow.
So I met a friend, and she was a young mom too, and she said, I want to be a writer and write books. And when she said that, something just struck a chord in me, and I said, oh, real people can do that? I want to do that too. And so we would get together, and our kids would play, and we'd dream about writing, and get Writer's Digest magazine, and, you know, I think about all the books we were going to write. And one day we got a magazine, and it talked about a Christian writers conference called Mount Hermon, which was only I lived in California at the time, it was only about 4 hours away, and it was this Christian writers conference. And so my friend and I saved up our money for a year.
Wow.
So we were able to go to this writers conference. And, you know, I always tell people, if they would have voted on who is most likely not to become a Christian author, it would have been me, because, like I said, I had been a teen mom. I had my first son when I was 17. I got married after that to a wonderful man. He was not my first baby's father. And we had two more kids right away. And here I was, this young girl, just saying, I want to be a writer. But, you know, at this conference, the great thing was, is they didn't just talk about writing. They actually gave you the tools. They told you how to submit articles to magazines, how to write book proposals. And so, you know, just like going to school and learning, I went home and I applied all these things. And I think it was the grace of God, because the very first article I submitted, it got published. And I think that was just God saying I was on the right track, because for two more years, I didn't get another thing published or accepted. But God, that first one just gave me the encouragement that this was something that God had gifted me with, had given me a dream for, and it was something I wanted to follow through. And so basically, when I was home with my little kids, I'd put them down for their naps, and I'd work on articles and work on book ideas, and eventually I started getting published more and more in magazines, and that's where I started. I started off small, with small things in magazines, and eventually I got the interest of an agent through a different writer friend of mine, and she looked at some of my book proposals and thought that they had some merit, and so she took me on and started submitting those. And so really, from the first conference I attended in 94, I worked on it for 6 years before one of my books got accepted for publication.
Wow.
So it was a lot of time at home with my kids, but it was, you know, me training myself, and it's trial and error, and sending stuff out, getting lots of rejections, learning, reading books, and trying again. And so really, I tell people, you know, if you have a dream for this, God can make it happen, because He did it with me, and if He could do it with me, He could do it with anybody.
You know what? That is so awesome, and I can just picture that process that you're talking about, of sitting there and thinking, okay, I'm going to try this idea, and I'm going to I'm going to implement all the tools that you talk about that you were given at the writers' conference, and I'm going to try this. And I can just imagine you sitting there either, you know, at your computer, writing this out, rereading it several times, checking it, is this going to be okay, and then okay, sealing that envelope and sending it off or submitting it, and then, you know, saying okay, you know, and then, you know, getting your rejection. I received a rejection letter once in one of my children's articles that I wrote, and I was like, oh, that just killed me.
I know. Like, didn't they see how wonderful that was?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Right.
And, so it is quite it's a very realistic process. I think the process of stepping out, as you say, in faith and trusting what it is that you're doing, is a real process, and it's a real journey of hopes and dreams and anxiety and struggle to trust and hope and, you know, and dealing with all the emotions that go with it.
Right.
And then that preparation, that 6 years really of preparation,
right.
If you had, I bet you anything, you would agree that if you had that given to you very early on, you wouldn't have been quite as ready for it.
Oh, no, I don't think I could have finished those books I wanted to write.
Yeah.
I had great dreams for them. But now looking back, I can see that God had been preparing me all along and that He had the perfect timing and the perfect plan for me. And I needed those years of preparation.
Mm.
I needed the training. I attended the Mount Hermon Christian Writers Conference every year after that, up until probably 3 years ago when I had book deadlines and didn't have time to go. But, you know, it was those years of training and what I learned each year, you know, just built on what I needed and what I continued to use. And I remember it was probably 3 or 4 years into it when I took a class on article writing. And something that the teacher taught us just made so much sense, and it really made the difference in my writing. And that was, you know, when we first sit down and we have all these wonderful ideas, we sit down and we pour out our heart and our thoughts on these on the page, and then we send it out to everybody and hope that someone will agree and think that it's wonderful. And she said it was like, and it's like you knit a sweater that's fit perfectly for you, and it's your color, it's your shape, it's your style, and then you're just sending it out there hoping that it'll fit someone else. And what she encouraged me to do when it came to article writing is to look at the publication, look at their style, look at the type of articles they have, and you knit a sweater for their publication. Knit something that will fit them. Of course, it could have your interests, the things you're interested about, but style it so it will fit them. And really, after I got that idea, it just made all the difference, and it really helped with my sales and continued on from there. But, you know, like I said, that was like 4 years into it that I finally got that piece of advice. So before that, there's just a lot of training and a lot of trying to do things on my own. But it made me realize, too, that there's people out there that know what they're doing, and, you know, through books, through conferences, really finding what works for them and trying it for ourselves and finding what can work for us.
That is very true and realistic, and just about from any point of view. One of the things that I do, of course, is I, you know, meet a lot of very significant sponsors, and I always need to know to figure out what is their vision as a company,
right.
And how does my idea work together with their vision as a company, and it makes sense. I love the way that you said that she put that. It's very, very easy to see that example she gave you is just so true. We would never dream of taking something that's our size and offering it to people of varied sizes.
Right, exactly.
Because it would be obvious to us that it wouldn't fit. And it would, no wonder they said no. You know, it was obvious we didn't do our research and we weren't particularly interested in benefiting them as much as we were in promoting ourselves. And that's very wise. I think that's probably good. And we can lead into a segue about a lot of things, but in one thing in particular, women love to nurture and care for other people, and the most gifted woman that can do that is one that recognizes what the needs of the other person truly are by discerning those needs, by studying the person that she cares about, the one that she's interested in, and wants to really help and climb into her pain and suffering with her.
That's right.
And then be able to look at life from that woman's perspective and then be able to offer a hand up.
Right.
Based on that. Now, you've got some great books. I'm interested in all of your books. I just love them all. You've got books that are historical in nature based on beautiful stories of war veterans that have really given their lives to serve us and give us our freedom.
Yeah.
And I especially think in this day and age of the very difficult challenge that the world is facing, particularly the United States and the conflicts that they are experiencing, whether at their own choice or the choice of somebody else. We have a whole new generation of veterans coming up now in very young people. Our Canadian soldiers and American soldiers and British soldiers, all the allies, they're all very young. And they're going to have stories in 40, 50 years from now that are as amazing and beautiful as the stories that you have captured in your veterans and your war heroes.
Right.
Tell me a little bit about your historical books or your, really when I mean the historical stories about the veterans. What got you interested in that?
You know, I was first, I'd been writing some novel ideas, and they're mostly set in Montana where I live, little romances, just light little things that I was working on for fiction novels. And I ended up traveling to Europe with two friends. They were both researching for their historical novels, which took place in Europe, and I was just along for the ride. And I came upon this bit of information when we were researching at Mauthausen concentration camp in Austria, and this historian was telling us about this camp, and she invited us into her home. We had tea. She set out some wonderful bread and jams and stuff for us, and she started telling us about these experiences about the liberation of the concentration camp. And she told us about the camp was there, and the Americans had been on reconnaissance, and they had no idea that a concentration camp was anywhere in the area. And 23 American men came upon this camp and ended up opening the gates and rounding up the German soldiers and liberating the concentration camp, these 23 men. And I'm like, oh, that is so amazing. And then she told us about the first woman that was in there taking care of the prisoners. And she was a Nazi officer's wife. He had fled to escape the Americans that he knew were coming. And she had remained, and she hadn't been happy with the way the people had been treated. And as soon as she had the chance, her husband was gone. She went inside and started caring and taking care of these people.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, oh, this would make such a wonderful novel.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked my friends, are you going to use this in your books? And both of them had different book ideas that they had already sold and needed to write, and they both said, no, we're not going to write that. And I said, oh, I need to write this story. And so I went home, and I told my agent about it, and she said, I wonder if any of the men are still alive. And so I looked it up on the internet, and I came across the division, and I sent a letter out, and 11 men answered me, and they were still alive, and they invited me to come to their reunion. It just happened to be a couple months away. And so I was able to go to their 59th reunion and hear their stories about the liberation of this camp. And it was so amazing to be able to, you know, I was so excited about the story, but to meet the real men who had lived through it, had experienced those things. And, you know, I thought, when I first went, I thought, oh, it's going to take a couple days for me to warm up, to get to know them before they'll be willing to share their stories. Oh, no, it wasn't that way at all. I showed up, there was a line waiting for me. They said, because I just told them I would be coming in Thursday. Well, we didn't get in until Thursday evening. And they said, these men have been waiting all day wanting to tell their stories. And they were just so excited because it was during the time when Saving Private Ryan and a lot of World War II movies were coming out.
Right.
And they thought, finally, someone who was interested in our story. And it was from meeting those men, that listening to their stories, that I also got the ideas for my second novel and then my third novel. It's like the more men I met, the more research I did, it just opened up these other stories. And I'm like, oh, I just have to write these books. And so really, what really I feel like I'm doing is I'm taking these stories, and they're based on historically accurate experiences, but I am sharing them with today's reader in a way that they can relate to. You know, most people won't sit there and watch the History Channel for too long, or won't pick up a big thick book about all these battles and all these experiences. But if they can get swept away in a novel, if they can just, you know, feel like they're experiencing these the lives of these characters and following them along as the war progresses, crying with them, laughing with them, then I'm sharing history too. So I'm really able to share the men's stories in a way that meets the needs of today's readers. And that's really what we were talking about before. It all comes to who are we serving and what are their needs and how can we relate. So I feel like I'm bringing these two worlds together by sharing the experiences of the men with today's readers.
Oh, I think that's fabulous. And I just so see so much value in what you're doing. And, you know, as I have relatives as well, as I've told you before, that there are several relatives that have fought in the war, including my mother and my father. And when you listen to their stories, there is a quality of life and a richness that we really don't understand if we haven't been touched by the scarring that war leaves and the lessons that can be learned. And how amazing, what an absolute privilege for you to be able to sit and listen to those men's stories. It's almost surreal to be able to have that opportunity.
And it is.
And what an amazing gift they were able to offer those people and how you were able to capture that. And you're right, it's much more palatable for us to hear about painful things in the form of a story where we can become emotionally involved and captivated in there, and sometimes away from our little self-centered lives and escape off into a book that allows us to think about some of the gifts we've been given through the sacrifice of others. And what a great and amazing way to do that. And what a privilege for you to be able to access that. I love listening to the stories of my uncle and my mom, and they're just amazing stories in themselves. Not, you know, every story has a history with it. So, and now you have this other great book called My Life Unscripted.
Yes.
Please tell me about that. That looks so great. My 17-year-old daughter took a look at that and go, that looks interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
That'll be coming out in August, and it's actually a book for teen girls. And what, I have a teen daughter, and she'll be 15 in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's such a joy to have this daughter. I have two sons too, but you know, she's in the middle. And I work a lot with teen moms because I was a teen mom myself. And you know, working with teen moms, they have the emotions of being pregnant with the emotions of being a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, you know, so many teenagers, when I've worked with them and seen their experiences, is they get away, swept away by the drama of life. Whatever's going on, it's up and down. Every day it's different. There's new emotions. And it's like they're carried away in this life drama that there's no script for. It just keeps going on and on, up and down, and they're surprised, and they're unsure, and they don't know what steps to take. And what I really want to do in My Life Unscripted is to help teen girls script their responses. Script their responses to boys before the situation comes where they're, you know, faced with, oh, should I have sex? Should I not have sex? Should I date this guy? Should I not date this guy? And think about who they are and their values and make a plan and decision of what they will do in those situations before they happen. Or even situations with their parents or situations in school. And really think about the things of writing their own script and making their own plan instead of just being swept away with the drama. And to do that, I use a lot of the experience of my teen life that it was kind of hard to share some of the emotional things that I went through to show that this is the drama that I went through, and boy, how I wish I could have done it a different way, but here is your chance to script your own life. And that's how the book ended up coming out.
That is actually so helpful. I mean, I was a teen pregnant mom too, and so I can understand how, had someone handed me an opportunity to think about how I would respond, I think it may have made a difference with me, because I wasn't parented, and I was parented till I was 12, but then I left home because of domestic violence, and I was on the streets at 13, and so for me, no 13-year-old can raise themselves, so everything was just as you described, very reactive, very reactive, no responding at all. It was all a reaction, and whatever led me, guided me in and pulled me around, but I know that I wanted so desperately to have some kind of stability and thought process that would give me an understanding of how I would respond. And what a brilliant idea. And teens really do need to have that, someone help them to put together a solidified thought process of how they are going to respond. And as a mom, you know, with my girls, we began the talks and discussions about what you're talking about when they were younger, but right. never thought to even have it in a script format so they can decide. With my own two daughters, we sat down. I've got four children, and my last two are my daughters. And I had this conversation with them from the time they were really little. Let's talk about how we're going to handle certain situations when they come up. But to be able to document it, to be able to have them put it in their own words, their own hearts, to define what it means to them is priceless. Yeah. And I think that is just a brilliant concept and so helpful for kids today who are feeling kind of lost.
Right.
A lot lost, actually.
Right.
Especially with
And I tried to approach it as someone, I'm not this expert. I'm not this person that's going to tell you what to do. But this is what I experienced. And I'll also include, this is what God's Word says about these things. Now, how do you think you should respond?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, me saying, do this, don't do this. I mean, no teen wants to be talked to that way.
Oh, they'll just turn you off.
Yeah, it would have turned me off. But if someone would have said, you know what, I face these same things, and this is what happened to me, but, you know, you can do it different. How would you like to do it? How do you think you should respond? These kids will make good decisions if we give them the opportunity.
You know what? I believe that, too, and I think that they're crying for that. I've always felt that we, as this current generation, with all the challenges that our kids have dealt with, I've felt like over and over again I wanted to apologize to our teens. I'm so sorry that we have not met your needs, because the home has broken down. The society is not the same protective
right.
structure that it was, and the challenges that kids face today, even I, who had a very, you know, insane lifestyle, don't even deal with half the things that kids are dealing with
right.
now. And the challenges and the liberation of, you know, basically the lies that the sexual gratification is going to fill that void inside of them somehow. And all of those lies that they're now faced with, and they don't have a contradictory message that will tell them, you know what, that desire you have inside of you is actually for something much deeper, for a sense of wholeness and real unconditional love and acceptance. And you don't know that because it's been, you know, twisted and you know, sold to you that it was a sexual passion, when in truth it was a deep, deep soul emotional
right.
cry you were asking for, and you got the wrong end of the deal, and someone's lied to you.
Right.
And, you know, to be able to give them some truth so that they can make that choice, and not from a preachy place, because kids hate that. Adults hate it too, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now you have another book that is called Life Interrupted. Sounds like that book is a little bit maybe some of your stories.
It is. It's so funny how much of my story ends up in these books. But Life Interrupted is a parenting book for teen moms.
Mm.
And when I first started working with teen moms, we had a support group through a local pregnancy care center where the moms were just able to come. We had child care for them. We had dinner for them. And we just tried to help them. We said, you know, what are your needs? Where can you use support? And they, you know, they told us, we need to know how to finish school, and we need to know what to do with these boys. And,
right.
and you know, when I started looking around and trying to find a resource for teen moms, I couldn't find anything out there that's written specifically for the mom herself.
Right.
There's books written for maybe a parent of a pregnant teenager, or you know, just pregnancy books in general, but not one specifically for a teen mom focusing on her needs, her emotional needs, her spiritual needs, her physical needs. And that's really what Life Interrupted is and they helped me even come up with a title. And I say, what do you want to say? And they said, our life has been interrupted.
Wow.
But we can have hope. And that's really what I try to show in the book,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, here I was a 17-year-old teen mom. I dropped out of my senior year in high school. You know, at that time, I thought my life was over. But yet, look what God has done.
Mm.
Look at, you know, now I'm an author. I'm a mom of three. I write parenting books. It's like, only God can do that. to transform my life in such a way. And I try to give them that hope, is that your life isn't over. It's interrupted for a time, but we could change things. We can look and see how to make it better. And really, that's what my pregnancy ended up being for me at 17, was I was able to look at my life and say, where was I headed? Where do I want to go? I have a child to support now. What things do I need to do differently? And so that's the same kind of hope that I give in that book.
That's fabulous. And what I really appreciate about it is that you have not buried your head in the sand when it comes to Christian kids and their challenges, because being a faith-based person does not mean you have all the answers, and it does not mean that you are not going to make serious judgment mistakes and based on wherever your heart is at the time. And I know as a teen mom myself, I wasn't a faith-based girl at the time, and my first pregnancy was 17, and I aborted that pregnancy, and that was very devastating, and I couldn't cope with that, so I ended up getting pregnant again to try to heal some of that pain that you don't know is coming. You get fed the lie that this is a perfectly natural thing for a mother to do, to take her own baby, and then you are ripped in your heart and soul when you find out it is just simply not natural. At least it wasn't for me. I can't speak for every other woman. I can only say that it tore my heart out, and it was just so difficult to get over. But I found that once I became a faith-based person, and I was very open and honest, and that was 27 years ago, I was very open and honest with the church social environment that I was in about my teen pregnancy and my life, but I found that that wasn't such an acceptable kind of conversation back then. Right. And there was a lot of Christian parents that were extremely terrified that if I even discussed it, it would be like I would plant a seed in their kids' minds. Mm-hmm. And I was so concerned about their lack of reality, because, you know, the parents are discussing, you know, the idealism they want their child to grow up in, and the kids are looking at me shaking their heads saying this isn't real for me.
Right.
And so to be able to honestly address it in such a way that is redemptive, that gives these kids an awareness to know that, you know what, all of us make mistakes. Some of us bear the obvious fruit of them, and some of us don't have to. It just depends. Right. And I really appreciate you as a faith-based person choosing to expose the reality that faith-based kids are just the same as everybody else.
Exactly.
And can make some of the same mistakes and have some of the same challenges. And you know what? It just reveals our humanity, and that's okay, because that's what we share in common with everybody else,
right,
is our own humanity.
And if we were perfect, then...
Pardon me?
If we were perfect, we wouldn't need hope at all.
If we were perfect...
We could just do whatever we wanted and all work out. But no one is like that.
No. It's true. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who say to me, they get, you know, because now after 4 children and 2 grandchildren and, you know, many years of raising kids, and, you know, I think I'm starting to figure it out right now, which is too late for my kids. But I get a lot of parents that feel very, very guilty about their children's problems, and they feel extremely responsible for them. And I always say to them, you know, you're not thinking sensibly. Let me just give you a little clue. And they're like, what? And I said, well, if we believe in God and God is the creator, and we believe that Adam and Eve were his first kids, take a look at his parenting.
Right, exactly.
Not so great.
Right.
If that's how we look at it. But God really respects our freedom, and he allows us to make our choices, and that's good parenting. And he does not own responsibility for the behavior and choices of his children, and he works with us and helps us and loves us in spite of it. So, you know, that's very encouraging to people, and to think, oh yeah, God was like, he is perfect, he's the perfect father. Hey, his kids were so great. Just a minute.
Right.
Maybe I don't have to feel so bad, and maybe I can accept that these little creatures have come equipped with their very own perfect, strong little will, with their own ability to make their own decisions, and we
exactly
can just guide them. So you mentioned that you wrote parenting articles and books. Have you written parenting books, Tricia?
Yes, I have.
So what is a parenting book that you have written?
Generation Next Parenting. Well, Life Interrupted is a parenting book.
Right.
But, you know, it's just specifically for teen moms. My parenting book for all parents is Generation Next Parenting. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of the book is realizing who we are as a generation and what we were raised under, and realizing that we're raising these kids in a whole different generation, but how we could take our strengths and weaknesses and affect them and their future. And really, God had shown me, you know, because I had a lot of, I was from a single mom myself. I had a stepdad. You know, these situations in my life where God has transformed them into good, where I can understand my kids better, I can relate to them better, but also I can realize that I went through those things and I can use them for the benefit of my kids and not a hindrance. And so Generation Next Parenting talks about especially parents that were raised where their life somehow hit the 80s and all the media was becoming big at the time, broken homes were being big, and if they were raised during that time period, how their weaknesses and their strengths affect their parenting today. Mm. So really, it's a very conversational book. I talk about my struggles. It seems like I do a lot in my writing, but I find out people can relate to it. They can understand, they could see things in their own life, and they could find hope again in doing things a different way, and hope in God that, you know, we are here at this time in history for a reason. God isn't surprised that we are facing the things that we're facing, that we have the struggles that our kids have, but in all those things that He can come around and bring good out of the situations. And so it's really a book of hope for parents to say, okay, as a generation, this is what we're facing, this is what our kids are facing, and here are some things that have helped me, and here are some things that can hopefully help you too.
Wow. And you know what? And what's so beautiful isn't hearing from someone who has a degree in parenting that has never parented themselves. What is beautiful to hear from, and I can relate to, is you talking about your struggles and how you struggle your way through them and come out the other side. Then I can know when I read your book that I can struggle my way through and there is a way across the other side. And it doesn't, and I think we make a lot of mistakes as people. We keep looking for the perfect parent, the perfect situation. And it's delusional because there isn't one. And beauty comes when we accept that there isn't such a thing, and it's not the circumstances themselves, but that we can get through them.
Right.
And that's what I think is so awesome. And when you talk about using your experiences through your books, that's what myself as a reader, I want to see. I don't want to know that you have, you know, five steps to, you know, being successful, and you don't even know what those are from experience, but that you're saying, I actually do know, and these are my struggles, and then as a reader, I can identify with you, not in perfection, because I know I'm not perfect, but I can identify with you in your humanity and in your struggles, and then that gives me encouragement and confidence to know that I can also struggle my way through and reach the other side.
Right. And I've probably more responses from that Generation Next Parenting than any other book from young moms who say, oh, I felt like such a failure. And they'd say, do these 10 things and your kids will be perfect. And my kids weren't perfect, and so I must have been doing something wrong. And they said, you know, and there's some very, very wise people out there, but how can a 75-year-old man give me advice on parenting today, you know, when, you know, they raised their kids 40 years ago?
Yeah.
So I see a lot of moms that were frustrated with some of the parenting books out there, and they were just saying, this isn't working for me, and isn't there anyone else I could talk to or that will understand where I'm coming from? And so I've gotten a lot of really good responses. I just got an email about 2 days ago. This young mom said, I've read your book once. The second time I started highlighting, now I'm going through and reading my highlights again. And that's just so encouraging that she was able to relate to those experiences and maybe find some help for her own parenting, but mostly just to realize that it's okay, that, you know, she's not failing. We don't need to compare ourselves with other people, and I think that's one of the biggest things that we have in any walks of life, is we always compare our weaknesses to the strengths of others, and we're always, you know, condemning ourselves and saying, oh, you're not doing great, you're not doing a good job, and look at how you're messing up here. And because, you know, everyone else has the perfect home or the perfect kids or the perfect marriage.
Yeah, we've just never found it yet.
Right. And they're thinking the same thing about us. They're comparing, you know, maybe that we cook better or that we, you know, do different things. And so everyone's comparing and no one is finding joy in anything they're doing. And I think that is a big mistake, that we all are missing out on so much joy that we'd have just by saying, you know what, I'm not perfect, but these are the things I'm doing right, and focusing on those things. It's really, God's gifted us all uniquely different, and if we rejoice in those, then it can make all the difference.
That is so well said. And it is very true that we do compare ourselves, and it's so foolish. And, you know, that's why we emulate celebrities. We just think they are the perfect thing that we just want to strive and achieve ourselves, only to find out that they're struggling the same way.
Right.
Everybody does. And there is no such thing as the perfect individual. And, you know, I wrote an article on what we share in common as from my life in South Africa. And, you know, how could I was there during the implosion of apartheid when it first started, and I was there for 2 years, and all I could think of is I have much in common with these people because they're mamas like me, and they have their own struggles, and regardless of their very difficult history, we do have something that we share in common. And that's what we really, that's I think what I hear you saying, is that we have so much in common, much more in common than what separates us, and that if we can just recognize that we all share the same concerns and worries and challenges and insecurities when it comes to particularly parenting in this very challenging age, then we can receive comfort from one another and not feel like someone else has something that we don't have access to.
That's right.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So what's on the horizon for you, Tricia? Where are you headed in your books, and what can we look for that's coming up?
Right. Well, my Life Unscripted is my teen book, and that will be out in August.
Right.
And then in September, I have my third novel that's part of the Spanish Civil War series. It's actually my seventh novel I've written, but it's my second in the series,
right,
on the Spanish Civil War, which took place right before World War II in Spain. And again, I got stories from some of the men who were there. They're in their 90s now.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've been able to talk to them and get some of their stories of right before World War II started, what was going on in Europe, and it's been fascinating.
Oh.
And I'm working on those. And then I have Generation Next Marriage, which ties in with Generation Next Parenting, and it's about being married in this day and age, and all the messages that we get as married people. And I mean, I think there's more divorce now than there is marriages every year. So it's really the couple's guide to keeping it together is the subtitle we came out. And really, that's what we want to do, is we want to keep these marriages together. And again, not from an expert with degrees or
right,
but it's from a mom in this generation, a wife, who's saying, okay, this is what we struggled with, and these are the things, the issues that we have, and giving hope that, you know, we are keeping it together, and that we plan on being married for life. And so that's Generation Next Marriage, and that'll be out in January. So a lot of things on the horizon that I'm excited about.
That's so good, and I love that you have really addressed the marriages, because they, you know, it's true. I mean, I'm divorced, and I'm sad to say that I was divorced after 16 years of marriage, but it was a decision that was wrong from the beginning, and I had to learn and grow and figure out those things. But I find it that one of the things I found the most difficult during my marriage was looking for books that were based on reality.
Right.
And I just couldn't find anything that would help me see the reality of what I was truly and honestly going through, and how I could work through those issues. And, you know, in situations, in my particular situation, it was definitely people's wills involved, and
right,
choices that you know, I respected and eventually gave into and recognized that someone else has a different will and a different desire, and there's nothing I can do about that.
Right.
But to give something practical, I mean, the idealistic experts just didn't cut it for me. I didn't right. want to hear from someone who had it together, had all the answers, because that's not where I was.
Exactly.
I couldn't deal with that. I wanted to know, do you actually fight with him? And when you argue and fight and you say unkind things, what do you do afterwards? And how do you find your way back? And how do you deal with that?
Right.
That's what I needed to know.
In real life issues, I mean, some of the things that we've gone through is, you know, I had an old boyfriend look me up on the internet. These are real things that we've dealt with that have been very, very hard things. It's not just like, life is wonderful, we got married, we never faced anything. You know, it was also, I had a son, you know, by someone else when we got married, and parenting, you know, molding those things together. I mean, we've faced a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's in the real world out there. And it's not like, oh, we had this fairy tale marriage and everything's been perfect ever since. No, these are some of the issues that we face, and man, they were really hard, and they could have ended in divorce. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is how God helped us. This is where we found hope. This is what we're working on. And these are the things we still struggle with. So,
yeah, and you know what? In telling the truth to each other and to ourselves, it really is the real thing. You know the truth, and the truth is freeing. And that gives us the ability to work through our issues. And a lot of times we don't want to share those things out loud and tell somebody, but that's where freedom comes in, is actually exposing it and laying it out and knowing, you know what, this is the truth of my situation, and then it gives you that strength. I mean, it's no different than we hear about, you know, the 12 steps in recovery, that once you expose a problem, you've taken half its power away. And if we're afraid to say it because we think we're supposed to be perfect somehow, we can't even get it on the table to deal with it. And it's putting it out there that helps us to be able to deal with those issues. And you have just so much to offer, Tricia, just because you've allowed your life and your ups and downs and your struggles, you've allowed a transparency into your life that's allowing so many others to identify with. And even though you just find great delight and think it's just such a gift to you to be able to write, you've been given as a gift to the rest of us to be able to identify with you and find hope through your struggles and your writing. And I just want to thank you for the gift that you have responded to in your life and that you share with the rest of us.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate that, because it's not always the easiest thing. Sitting down going, do I really want to write about this? Do I really want to share this about myself? But it is true that we really find hope when we see other people struggling that are willing to come alongside us and saying, this can help you, or this can give you hope, or let me just cry with you over this. It really makes a difference.
Or let me tell you the truth about me.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I can remember in one of my feel sorry moments when I was sitting in South Africa, kicking and screaming, I was dragged there. I did not want to go. We were supposed to go as missionaries. I am not a missionary. Wasn't interested in it. And I was just did not want to be there. I was literally faithfully following my husband's desire. And as I sat there feeling sorry for myself, because now he was an ordained minister and I was supposed to be a pastor's wife, and I am not a pastor's wife in the boxed idea of what that means. And I was sitting on my window seat that I had built out of my traveling trunks. And I had built a window seat, and the fragrance of honeysuckle and jasmine were coming through the window, and I was whining and feeling sorry for myself and saying, you know what, God, had I been raised in a perfect home, do you know that I would have been just the best perfect person there is, and I'd have been able to be the best pastor's wife, and I wouldn't have all these emotional struggles, and if you'd given me parents that were just lovely and wonderful, and you know, and you hadn't put me in this terrible place. And then I heard this very still, small, quiet voice say to me, you don't like the choices I made for you? I was like, whoa, you're going to own that? And then he just helped me understand that all the areas that I went through, from leaving, you know, suffering through domestic violence, leaving home at 12 years old, running away, having my first sexual experience at 15, then having an abortion at 17, and then getting pregnant at 19, and being involved in drugs and street life. And he just said to me, is there anybody that you ever feel you could judge. And I'm like, no.
Right.
In fact, for this generation that I was born into, there isn't one single person that I could ever judge. I can identify with every right. single struggle, including now, unfortunately, adding to my list of a marriage and being divorced, and now experiencing a grandchild with cancer, and having that whole gamut of experiences, I realized that's what makes life transferable to others isn't perfection, but the reality of our experiences.
Exactly.
And being able to identify and showing people absolute unconditional love that we've been given, to turn around and give that away, because that's what's so desperately needed.
That's right.
Is love. Well, Tricia, on that note, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. And we are going to look for your books. We can go to your site at www.trishagoyer.com, which is TRICIAGOYER.com. Or you can go to my site at Unlocking Secrets for Women, or unlockingsecrets.com. And you can go to our resource list and look for a recommended reading. And Tricia's books are listed there. And I just thank you so much, Tricia, for
Thanks
joining me.
So much for having me.
All the way from Montana to Vancouver.
Yes.
It's great to be able to do that. Thanks for joining us on Unlocking Secrets for Women.
Thank you.